podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
The generation coming up can't go learn like I learned. It just can't do it. It's outdated. It's done. Forget it.
This is Ben Durbin from the Pixel Core. For those of you who give careful study to the MacBreak credits at the end of each show, you may have seen my name pop up now and again as one of the folks, among many, who helps produce the MacBreak episodes that you see come out each week. And every now and again, Alex asks me to come out from behind the curtain and talk a little bit about how we accomplish some of the things that we do. In this particular special episode of MacBreak, we're going to talk a little bit about how the lower thirds are created. Those are those images you see floating across the bottom of your screen at various times throughout an episode that give you more information about, or where to go for more information about, what the hosts and guests are talking about at a given time in an episode. Now, for those of you who watch the 450, the 800 by 450 version of the show, those links are actually clickable and will open up your web browser and take you to the page in question that we're talking about. So we're going to talk a little bit about how we make those clickable as well. So first, we're taking a look at an edit here. This is the edit for the previous episode of MacBreak. And in my Final Cut timeline here, I have a video track that has a bunch of these lower thirds that have been added to the timeline. So we create these lower thirds in Apple's Motion, which is a motion graphics package that comes with as a part of the Final Cut Pro Studio Suite. And this template was created by the Pixel Core motion graphics team, which is led by Carl Hassenfratz in New York. He does a lot of broadcast graphics for a TV station in New York. And he and his team came up with this template for MacBreak lower thirds. And from this template, we then, for each new episode, make a bunch of motion files. We have a little bit of automation to drive this, but I'll show you how we would do it if we were doing it manually. We create a batch of these for each episode. So someone in Final Cut or just in QuickTime watches through the episode and they sort of figure out where it would be best to put these lower thirds, what they should link to, and all that sort of stuff, what they should say, the text that's going to be shown there. So then we take that database of entries that someone's come up with, and we go into Motion and we create a motion file for each of those and render it out. So all we're changing in each time, in each instance here, are these two text items. So there's one for the top line and another one for the bottom line here. And we just, if we go into the inspector, you can see down here in the text entry box, we can just change the text, save out a new file, and then render. Once you're done with all of that, you end up with a heap of those lower thirds, like you can see in the browser here, one for each of your lower thirds throughout the episode. I need to make this a little bit smaller here so we can see that. So as we click through these, you can see the different ones that just get dropped into the timeline at the various places designated by the person who came up with the database for this particular episode. So if I zoom out a bit here, you can see all of the lower thirds that have been dropped in. And these just get rendered out when we render out our sort of master version of the episode that then gets recompressed into the various smaller and various sizes that go out. Once we've rendered that out, we now have the lower thirds sort of baked into the file, and you end up with something that looks like this. So here is a 450p version of the last episode. As you can see, the lower thirds come in here, but they're not clickable at this point. All it does is the default behavior of just stopping or starting the video when you click on it. So what we want to do now is we want to make it so that when your mouse goes over these and you click them, they open up your browser and take you to the page in question. The program that we use for that is called LiveStage Pro. And it's made by a software company called Totally Hip, and it's a QuickTime authoring environment. QuickTime, besides being able to just play video and sound, is a complete interactive environment for doing all sorts of stuff. We're using it very simply here just to add what's called a sprite, which is an element that you can click on that has some behavior associated with it. In our case, it's going to be an open your browser and go to a URL type behavior, but that's just one of the many things that you can do within that. So LiveStage Pro takes one or more QuickTime compatible elements, puts them all together in a project, which we have open here, and then when we render that out or export it, we have a self-contained QuickTime movie that has this additional behavior in it. So first, I've got a blank project here, and I've added our video. And so we have a video track here, and we have our soundtrack, and I've added what's called a sprite track. And the sprite tracks contain these little sprite samples, which are durations of time over which a sprite, which are your animatable elements, the elements to which you can give these sorts of behaviors, has one or more of them in each sample. So what we do is create a sample for each lower third and give it a behavior. So you could create these and just sort of scrub through the movie and see when they're going to occur in time and make a new sprite sample that way. But we've got a little shortcut, something handy that helps us figure out when exactly these things should occur. And so what we do, if I jump back over to Final Cut for a sec, you'll see all these markers that are above the timeline here. And as I go to each of them over here in the canvas, you can see that they are chapter markers that have a given title. And if I open up the properties for one of these, you can see that they're named something, and they have this little chapter designation, which is put in there when you click the Add Chapter Marker button. So what we've done, or what we do for each of the episodes, is you create first a start marker to designate when the episode's going to begin. As far as this this text track, we're going to export a text track that gives us sort of a visual cue in LiveStage Pro as to when these events should occur, so we don't have to sort of reverse engineer it in LiveStage. So we just go through, and at the beginning of every ad, we add a marker, every lower third. And at the end of every lower third, we designate that that's the end point. So we want to know how long in time this element should be clickable. And we just go through the entire episode creating those markers. And for each one, we give it a name. The ones that are beginning empty space or the end of a lower third, we call them space. And then the beginning of the next one will be called some key phrase that designates which of the lower thirds should go in at that point. Okay, so when we're done with that, there's a way that you can export that exports a text track with your QuickTime movie that includes certain markers. So what we might want to do, for instance, is include just our audio track, because really all we care about is the text track that's going to be on here, so it'll be faster for us to just render out audio. And under markers, we choose chapter markers. So all of those markers that we designated as chapter markers will get exported into this text track. So if we export this out of Final Cut, you end up with something that looks like this file. And if I open this in QuickTime, this is it here. So there's just a single audio track. But notice over here, we now have chapter markers for all of our lower thirds and the ends of them designated by the word space here. So now, if we go back into LiveStage Pro, and if we drag in our markers element, now we have this new text track. Now it also brought in our second soundtrack, which we can select and remove, and we don't need this timecode track either. But what we do have is this text track, and notice what it's done. If I zoom in just a bit here, we now have these discrete chunks that, if I open up the text track and zoom in maybe a little bit further, you can see that our titles for those markers have come through. So this allows us, when we're making our sprite track samples, our sprite samples here, like this one, we can just snap them to the boundaries of these. So if I wanted to make a sprite sample for this first lower third here, I can zoom in just a bit, and I'll make it start at the beginning there, let it snap there, and then I'll take its end and snap it here. So now we've got a sprite sample that exactly matches the appropriate duration for that. And not only that, we know when we're going back to our database to figure out exactly what link we're going to put for this offline one, it's easy to refer back, cut and paste it out of the database and into our sprite sample. So how do we make these things interactive? Well, so we've got a sprite track, and we've got a sprite sample. We need to actually put a sprite in here. We're going to give it an image, a transparent image. That's the thing that you're actually, the element on which the clickable behavior is actually going to be added. So if we go back into the Finder for just a sec here, and go grab, this is an image that's of the appropriate size. We use it for every episode, and it's just a PNG file that's transparent, and it's a specific size. Now we've got an image associated with the sprite sample. We need to actually add the sprite, so we go over here and add a new sprite. And then under button, we can make the cursor change when certain things happen. So we'll change it to pointing hand when the mouse is over the lower third to give you an indication that there's something to click on. And when you click it as well, we'll keep it at the pointing hand there. Then we'll go over to behaviors. And if we open up the library, behaviors are the way within LiveStage Pro that you can assign a certain type of behavior to a sprite. And there's a full scripting environment within LiveStage that allows you to create custom ones, but in our case, we're just going to use one that was in the library for us. And we go into behaviors under scripts here, and there's all sorts of behaviors in here. We're going to use, here we are, go to URL. So we just drag this into the behaviors, and now it's added a behavior that will open up a browser and go to the URL that you specify in its properties. So by default, it goes to the company's website. If we wanted to change this to google.com, we could do that. So now what we have is when this sprite sample is active, the cursor, the hand is going to change, or the cursor is going to change to a hand, and when we click on it, just for this duration of the sprite sample that we've defined here, we'll end up, it'll take our browser to whichever web page is designated in that behavior. And so what you do then is just duplicate these. Oops, wrong track there. Let's select this and duplicate it. You end up with another one. You drag that down to your next lower third, and just cut in the new URL. So you do this for every lower third in your episode, and then when you're done with it, you render it out. Now, this white area here represents the sprite track that we've added and its dimensions. We've put it down here where you'd want to be clicking on things. And there's one other thing that we need to do before we get out of here. We need to make sure that its draw mode is set to transparent. And that's for this track here. Okay, so now we've got a transparent sprite track. And that transparent image is there so that we can click on it, but we don't see anything. So it just looks like the mouse is going to change when you go over a particular region of the screen. And before we export, we would get rid of this text track because we really don't need it once we're done. And from here, we just export. So if we go to Export QuickTime Movie and put this there and call it LSP export. So it goes through and it compiles all of the things that you've told it to do in LiveStage, creates the appropriate QuickTime elements, puts that all in a specific single file, and spits you out the movie that we then upload as our published version. So we'll give this just a sec to finish its thing. And when it's done, see, we've got an LSP export. So now, when we go over and find that first lower third, and we play this through, when we put our cursor over it, notice that it changes to the pointing hand. And when we click on it, we give Firefox a sec to come up, and it goes to google.com, which is the URL that we specified in for that particular sprite. So that's it. There's tons of things that you can do in LiveStage Pro that you're not even scratching the surface of. If you want to do QuickTime authoring or authoring of interactivity within QuickTime, you can do it within LiveStage Pro. There's also some Flash stuff you can bring in that we're not working with right now, but that's another option for you as well. So I hope that was insightful. It gives you a little insight into how we create those clickable lower thirds, and the feedback we've been getting is that people enjoy having those, having that interactivity to give them more information about what the guests are talking about. So again, this is Ben Durbin from the Pixel Core. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the upcoming episodes of MacBreak.
You're playing for your team, and you're playing for this community.
My favorite thing about Bandon is I get to hang out with my friends every day, no matter what, because they live so close.
The generation coming up can't go learn like I learned. It just can't do it. It's outdated. It's done. Forget it.